Thanks for tuning in to our Centerpoint Church podcast. We hope you'll be challenged and inspired as we unpack God's direction and plan for our lives. Let's join into today's message.
Well, hello to all my friends out there. Whether you are a guest at Centerpoint or you are a regular, we want to welcome you. Listen, I know that you just had to get like a mini sermonette from me a little bit ago, and here I am now teaching again. I get a 2-for-1 today. You get a 2-for-1 today. But I'm so glad you are joining us because we are in week 2 of this Essentials series. And last week, I got to say, we absolutely had an amazing Sunday online, in person. We learned about the road of salvation to God through Jesus. We went through portions of Romans, and as we did throughout all of our campuses, hear this, over 45 people put their faith in Jesus for the very first time. Ecstatic. This is why we do what we do. This is Brooklyn to Montauk. This is giving everyone multiple opportunities to hear and respond to Jesus. I've still been excited all week just thinking about and hearing stories of life change from last Sunday. Now, today, I want us to go down another road. The next road that you need to travel after doing what we did last week, after talking about what we talked about last week, putting our faith in Jesus, is the road to baptism. I think there's a lot of confusion in the church, particularly here on Long Island, regarding baptism, because there are different biblical and theological perspectives on it. And so there's a lot of questions, such as who should get baptized, and when should someone be baptized, and what age should someone be baptized, and how many times should I be baptized? And I think something as important as a topic like this, which I'm really hoping I can prove to you as we continue, should be made super clear in each and every church. So I want to take a full Sunday to unpack, to make sure that we're all on the same page when it comes to baptism. This is the essentials of baptism. I also want to mention that this Wednesday at United, we will be having some baptisms here at church. So either if right now you already know, like, oh, I've been meaning to do that, I missed it in the summer, or by the end of this message you hear it and you're like, man, that's something I definitely need to do, I want you to know that we would love for you to be baptized. And the way to do that is to go to our webpage, cbchurch.com/baptisms, fill out that information, and one of our pastors will make sure to reach right out to you early this week. So I'm thinking about baptisms. And many of you know, I grew up in church. I was always in a church, in the church world. It was part of my life as far back as I go. And I still remember as a kid thinking that baptisms were so goofy. Like, they were just weird. I mean, think about it. I'm in my church, and my church, people wore white robes. Like, when on earth are you going to put on a random white robe that who knows how many other people wore before you, right? You put on this white robe, and you go into a big tub in your building, in the church. And in our churches, it was always hidden behind some random moving door that you had no idea had something behind it as complex as a baptismal tank. And here you are in public taking a bath with the pastor. Weird, right? And the whole while, he's trying to push you underwater. I thought this was the strangest thing as a kid, especially because I was the kind of kid who never wanted to take a bath. I didn't care if I was stinky or not. Like, I didn't want to take a bath at home, let alone taking a bath at church. Yet there was always one plus. Afterwards, regardless of when it was, what church it was, after almost every baptismal service we ever had, there was always a big thing of sheet cake. And so even today, when I think of baptism, I get a little sweet tooth. Like, I'm hungry for cake when I think of baptism. That's my word association. And so being this is some kind of strange thing, we need to ask the question, so why on earth do Christians have baptisms? So let me start with this. I think this is really important. It connects this week and next week. Because we believe that Jesus has called every Christian to participate in two specific ordinances. Other Christian circles may call them sacraments. Now, we call them ordinances because they were ordained by Jesus. And the word sacrament can give the impression of an action that saves us, which these don't save us. I'll get to that more in a bit. But the two ordinances are baptism and communion. These are solemn acts that are critically important to our faith in Christ. Again, they don't bring salvation, but they both help us grow spiritually. And both of these ordinances, get this, are mandatory parts of the Christian life. And so today I want us to focus on baptism. Next week, by the way, we're going to have a really special communion service. It's something that we will try to have a part of it in the way that we do our online service as well. But if you're able and you are comfortable coming to church in person, next Sunday may be a really cool Sunday to come to any of our campuses in person, because the way we're going to teach and then take the Lord's Supper together. It's going to be a really, really cool moment. I'd love for you to be part of that. So to understand baptism, we need to start with the Great Commission. This is the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. He's died and was resurrected. Now he's giving these final words to the church. And this is what he says. This is the charge to his disciples, the charge to those that are still followers of Jesus. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And hear it, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the triune God, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is a direct command from Jesus, that if you are to be a Christian, then you need to take the step of baptism. Jesus didn't give this as an option. Like, hey, I want you to put your faith in me. And by the way, if you're comfortable, why don't you do this? If you're bored on a Sunday, why don't you do this? If you feel like this may make you feel spiritually better, why don't you do this? No, he said, this is what you need to do, and that you need to obey everything that he has commanded. This is why we as the church make a big deal of it. We make a big deal of it because Jesus made a big deal of it. And part of this process of following Jesus, of being a disciple of Jesus, is being baptized. It is essential to our faith. So I want us to see this in action. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 8. This is roughly a year into the early church. So we're talking super early since Jesus was resurrected. The next chapter, Saul has his conversion to Paul. So this is really, really early in the life of the church. And we have one of Jesus' disciples, Philip, traveling down a road. And God uses this road to have a special encounter. We're going to start at verse 26. It says, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out. And on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of the Candake, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up. I'm just picturing him like creeping up, sneaking up to this chariot right now. But then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. He said to him, do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. So let's quickly sum this up. I mean, we have this rich, high-powered, God-fearing Ethiopian Gentile. And he was on a trip to Jerusalem to worship God. I think sometimes we forget that there were Gentiles that did believe in Israel's God. That didn't just start after Jesus with the apostle Paul. But God has always been there for the world. And God sent Philip to engage with him. And so Philip gets to explain to this man exactly who Jesus is. You can tell he has a heart and a longing to truly know God. And this man, this Ethiopian eunuch, then in this moment accepts Christ. And as he does, however he knows about it, maybe Philip mentioned it, he's clearly in the circle of faith. He understands the idea of baptism. For whatever reason, he knows about it and says, "What's holding me back right now from them being baptized in the name of Jesus?" And what I love about this story is it teaches us so much about the importance and the significance of baptism. So as I started my message off, I gave a couple of questions. I had four questions that I think people wrestle with. And what I want to do is I want to take time now to explain the answers to these four really important questions of baptism. And here's the first one. Here's the starting place. Who should get baptized? Who should get baptized? It said in verse 35 again, "Then Philip began with the very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus." Jesus in this passage was the lamb that Isaiah was prophesizing about. And then Philip took that to explain Jesus on the cross, went to explain his resurrection, went to explain the good news of Christ and what it means that Jesus took our place on the cross, explained to him that anyone who asks for the forgiveness of their sin would be forgiven, explained to him that now whoever takes this step is going to have eternity with the Father. He got to explain to him this amazing news of what Philip just experienced a little while earlier. Now the faith he's living through Jesus. And this man heard it, and his heart was moved, and he knew it is truth. And he said yes to Christ. What's interesting is in this moment we learned so much, as this man then obviously proceeds to be baptized. Because to answer the question, who should get baptized? The answer is everyone who accepts Jesus should be baptized. Everyone. It doesn't matter your nationality. It doesn't matter your history. It doesn't matter your past. It doesn't matter anything. Anything that before was that once you put your faith in Christ, you are now a Christian. The past no longer defines you. Who you were no longer defines you. Your sin no longer defines you. That moment that you say, "Jesus, forgive me of my sin," and you mean it, you profess it, and you're now ready to let Jesus be your Lord, in that exact moment, hear me, you're ready to be baptized. Everyone who accepts Christ should do this, which I kind of already answered, but brings us to the next question. When should someone be baptized? Look at verse 36. It says, "As they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?'" Oh, pastors, don't you wish it was this easy? Like, that is incredible. You just have a lunch with someone and you get to explain to them a little bit about Jesus. They put their faith in Jesus and they're like, "Hey, really, we're on the South Shore right now. We're not far from Jones Beach. What's preventing me right now from being baptized? It's winter." They're saying, "Hey, listen, I got a hot tub. I got a tub in my house. Like, what's holding me back right now from being baptized?" And I'm sure at first Philip like had to think about it. I'm sure he had to pause. He was probably thinking of it theologically, like, "What do I do now? What's the right answer?" And clearly, he said, "Let's do it. Let's go. You are ready because you put your faith in Jesus. This is, in fact, the next step. Friends, if you've asked Jesus for forgiveness, you are ready. That's the qualification. And many think that they need to be a mature Christian first, that baptism reflects a level of spiritual maturity, that once I'm mature enough, I know enough scripture, I know how to pray, I've maybe helped other people know who Jesus is, I've had enough sin removed from my life, I've overcome enough obstacles and addictions and struggles and temptations, then I'll be ready. But that's not what we find in the Word of God. That's certainly not what we see here with the Ethiopian eunuch. No, the moment he put his faith in Jesus, he was ready. He was qualified in that very second to go into that water and to be baptized. Well, if that's the case, then here's, I think, one of the biggest questions we wrestle with on Long Island. At what age should someone then be baptized? I have parents asking me this all the time. My kid was born 6 months ago. Are they ready to be baptized? Like, at what point does someone get baptized? What age does this happen? Again, in Acts 2:38, not again, but if we look back into Acts 2:38, Peter says this. He says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Repent and be baptized. You know, the Bible, time after time, teaches this idea. I believe 10 times in Acts alone, that you need to repent and then you are baptized. There's an order that needs to happen here. Repent. Come to Jesus, ask for forgiveness of your sin. And once that happens, that natural flow from that, the natural byproduct of that is now you're going to do this extremely important thing, this rite called baptism. And for us at Center Point, that means that you shouldn't be baptized until you've put your faith in Christ, even if you are born into a Christian family. And here's the distinction between what we believe the Bible teaches versus what some other different circles of Christians believe. We don't believe that children should, in fact, be baptized, not at least as their official baptism, as someone who's put their faith in Jesus. So here at Center Point, we do baby dedications. I actually just did one yesterday. Massapequa, we had two services. We had over 15 kids that we got to dedicate. And in our dedication service, we anoint them with oil with the sign of the cross on their forehead, and we commit them to Christ. And we're saying on behalf of the family and the charge to the family that they realize that their kid is not their own. Their kid is God's child, and that they're going to raise their kid in a way that is God-honoring. And that as parents, we're stewards of God's children. And it's a beautiful moment. It's a wonderful service. It's a great moment as a family to just pray for the blessing of God upon our kids. It's a beautiful thing. But it's very different than a baptism. It's very different than the biblical definition of a baptism. Because for us, you need to choose to be baptized. And as much as when my kids were little, they didn't choose what they ate, when they ate, what clothes they wear, they're just there. They have no say. They have no real thoughts except poop, cry, a lot of gas, right? Couple giggles, and repeat. Oh, I do not miss having babies. Beautiful, don't get me wrong, but that's a tough season. They're not choosing. And we believe that baptism must be repent and be baptized, to be the baptism that the Word of God teaches us. And I think that some people get confused with this because they've attached baptism with salvation. That I need to have my baby baptized because, God forbid, something horrible happens. Now I know that they're going to heaven, that it's going to bring salvation. But here's the thing. If we were supposed to baptize in this way, then I would think that scripture would be very clear about that, don't you? Just think about this for a second. Like, if this is it, this is that important, that babies must be baptized or else they can't enter the kingdom of God, which I believe God's grace is bigger on those that are not of age to make any kind of profession or knowledge or understanding. I mean, I'm leaving that to God, but I'm not worried about that. But if there was this need to say, okay, a baby must be baptized to equal salvation, don't you think there'd be a clear verse in scripture on that? Don't you think you could turn to something in the Gospels or something in Corinthians? And it's so clear. It says, hey, listen, first thing you do when your child is born is to baptize them because you do not know what tomorrow will bring. Yet nowhere, anywhere in the New Testament does it give any indication of that. And that's why I think it's important when Paul says in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, he says, for it is grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourself, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. That there's no ritual that you can do, there's no good deeds that you can do that ultimately can lead you to salvation. Salvation can only come through grace, through gift, through profession, saying, Jesus, save me. That's the only way that it can happen. And so we trust God with our children, knowing our Heavenly Father has them. But we also don't want to start to create this mindset that says, okay, you know what? I was a baby, I was baptized, so I'm good. Because time after time throughout Scripture, we see repent and be baptized. And even if you want to say, like, all right, I still think my infant baptism was significant. I'm fine with that. But I would still challenge the notion that says now you can repent. Now you've given your life to Jesus, which means now if it's so critical in Scripture that we are baptized, that you should wrestle with the idea that maybe I now need to choose to do this for me. Not a choice of my parents or not simply a ritual that I was done before my knowledge, but I need to do this. 4, how many times should someone get baptized? I really only want to mention this more even as a warning than anything else, because once you've put your faith in Jesus, friends, you're good. You're baptized over at Assembly of God Church when you were 22, or the Baptist Church when you were 33, or the EV Free Church, or this non-denominational church, but you put your faith in Jesus and you were baptized, hear me, you are good. You don't need another baptism because you're in a new church. It's not part of our membership process. Now you must be baptized at Center Point. Because this is not about a local church, an admission into a local church. This is about you being faithful as a disciple of Jesus as part of the kingdom of God. And the reason I mention that, I say this as a warning, because if you ever go to a church and they tell you, oh, you were baptized, but it wasn't with us, oh, then it didn't count. Here's my advice to you. Run away from that church. We are going very close to cultic behavior. That's not right. That is scary, scary stuff. But let's say, hey, you just had a great mountaintop experience and you just felt the presence of the Lord. You're like, oh, you know, I just overcame this addiction. Maybe now I should be rebaptized. You don't need to. Because if that moment you put your faith in Jesus, you were baptized after that, you're going to do a lot of growing through the rest of your life. You don't need to be rebaptized every time there's a significant spiritual moment in your life. Your baptism was your baptism. It holds, it stands. So let me wrap up by sharing this illustration of why I consistently think that it's so important for every Christian to be baptized. In many ways, I was thinking about this week, baptism reminds me of my wife and I getting engaged and married. You know, when I first started dating my wife, I knew really early off that I was gonna marry her. Still freaked her out because we were friends for a while before, about a year before. But man, when we finally like admitted that there was feelings for one another, it was about 2.5, 3 weeks in. I'm like, hey, how long do I have to wait to propose to you? She's like, whoa, slow down there, killer. You know, like, I don't know if I like you that much, but she told me 6 months. So 6 months in, I told her, hey, will you be my wife? I wanna marry you. I love you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. So awesome day. And here's the thing. In that moment, we were committing ourselves to one another. In that moment, we were saying, no, we're saying right here, right now, we are all in for our life together. And in a lot of ways, that just reminds me of that moment that we say yes to Jesus. That we say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I'm all in. This is my relationship with you for my life. But here's the thing. It wasn't enough to simply get engaged. There was something that else was expected. That's the wedding. And what if I said to my wife, hey, baby, here's a ring. I love you. Will you marry me? By the way, I don't want our wedding to be public. I want to keep this on the DL. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't take offense, you know? Like, I know you want the wedding. Actually, I was the one that wanted the big wedding. She wanted to elope. I wanted all my friends. I wanted her in the white dress. Judge me if you will, but that was me. But regardless, say she wanted the big wedding. And I was like, no, you know, I don't know about that because I'm nervous. I'm scared. What will people think? You know, I'm uncomfortable sharing how I feel with you out loud. How well do you think that would have gone over, right? Like, oh yeah, babe. Let's just not tell anybody. Let's just be married and keep it there. I'll tell you how it'd go over with most. You will not be with that person much longer, because there is this expectation on this other person to go forward in this public arena where people can celebrate with you the commitment that you are making together. Friends, baptism is a public celebration of a union. When we are baptized, we identify with Christ. When you go into the water, you die with Christ. You die to your sin. You bring your filth into that water. And then when you come up out of the water, you are raised from the dead. You are made new. You are made clean. And it represents, symbolizes, empowers us with the very union that we have made when we said yes to Jesus. This is us saying, Jesus, I will follow you. Why do we make such a big deal about baptism that I take an entire Sunday to teach on it? Friends, I do it because Jesus makes baptism a big deal. It is ordained by him. It is a command by him. And when we do it, we are showing our love, our obedience, our worship to him. And it allows for us to grow in our faith. I believe that every Christian needs to be baptized. Is it salvation in itself? No. If you lead someone to the Lord the moment before they die and they weren't baptized, do they go to heaven? Absolutely. God's grace is bigger than that. But that doesn't mean you can have an excuse to say, okay, well, if that's the case, then I'm not going to do it. Because we are in fact called to this. So let me remind you again. This Wednesday, we have United. And we will have the opportunity for people to be baptized, to worship God and show their obedience to God, that they are a disciple of Jesus. And if you haven't yet done it, the only question I have for you is why? Be like the Ethiopian eunuch. Right now say, oh, what's stopping me? What's holding me back? Why would I not want to do this? Because if this pleases Jesus for all he has done for me on the cross, how can I say no? And if you want to join us, again, you can sign up at cbchurch.com/baptism. Friends, let me close in prayer. Lord, I thank you that you give us these ordinances, that you give us baptism, you give us communion, and you do it for our benefit. You do it because it helps us to grow in you, and it helps us to remember you. And there's these physical moments, God, that connect us to the cross, they connect us to our salvation, they connect us to your grace. They are incredible. And as a church, we celebrate them. And I know in a world, in a day and age, which anything that has real meaning and significance is blowed off and it's demeaned and it's pushed away. God, may this be a significant moment for our church. May this be a significant moment for us collectively as we witness and experience the changed lives of people represented through that baptism. God, I pray for Wednesday that it'll be a beautiful time of honoring you and as our church being faithful to what you've called us to. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged by today's message. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube page and follow us on social media at Centerpoint NY on Instagram and Centerpoint Church on Facebook. For more information and ways to connect, visit our website at cpchurch.com.